Hello everyone, my name is Dakota Foster, and we will be talking to my grandfather, Samantha Foster. Sam Foster joined the Air Force after high school, stayed for 5 years, and then became a family man. Sam would think of his life as a piece of cake, but one thing that he's always had trouble with is race. What are some boundaries that you crossed that you think made you stronger as a person?
Learning to work where everybody thinks because you're black, and if you lay around and do nothing and don't forge your education, you stay in one place and that's what they want you to do. I've worked with Jews, I've worked with Italians and all my life, so I've always had boundaries to cross there. Then the biggest boundary I had with that is when I went down south in the service and listened to the way they talked there, and I was not used to. Then that's boundary to help. I had to watch myself being in trouble.
Did you get in any fights?
Oh, I got under near one fight one time. And if it wasn't for a buddy of mine, I probably would have been exed out of the service, because one boy from Alabama said something called me the word, N-word, and I grabbed the fire stinger and swung it at him. And if it wasn't for my buddy pushing me where the fire stinger didn't hit him, but he learned, stay out of my way. That was adventures. I got I didn't get any fights in the service. I had a lot of challenges in the service of telling people where to get off. And you had to watch your ranks and all, and you got to watch the way you can talk to them, you know. But I had one sergeant, he was a master sergeant. His name was Foster, too. And we were in England. And he used to try to outsmart me all the time because he was a rebel from Tennessee. And he didn't think I knew anything. And when my mother died, I was a flight engineer on my commanding ship, my commanding officer. I was a flight engineer on his plane. And when I was away, he took the plane and gave it to another guy that worked under me. Only thing about it, his name was Polsky, and him and I were very tight, so he got to take over. And when I came back from over my mother's burial, and I'll come back, and had to work around, and he had gave the ship to Polsky, but he had tried to get me on another crew. And one day walks in, had me helping another guy on some other ship. I said, okay, I'll go help him, because I was a sergeant. And he gives this kid, who's only had 2 stripes on his other ship he done, and he thought he was going to say, well, you have to do this and do that. And what we have a list of what they call gigs on the aircraft. In other words, it's things that need to be done on the aircraft and then checked off. And we have in the aircraft, we had a floor. Each floor was like 5 by 8 or 5 by 10 floor panels. And each of them had 300 screws in it. And they had to come up to check things. And he got all of these younger guys around with not my rank and all like that. And I looked at the tech sheet and I checked off. I said, I'm going up and do the rotor heads. And this little guy says, no, you don't want you on the floor. I said, you get the rest of the guys on the floor. I'm doing the rotor heads. So I went up and done the rotor head. So he went back and told Sergeant Foster that he wanted me to work on the floor. And Sergeant Foster asked me, how come you're not obeying orders? I says, who gives me orders? And he says, well, he told you to work on the floor, and you said you wasn't. I said, well, let me tell you something, Sergeant. I said, the stripes you wear on your sleeves, you want me to respect them? He said, yeah. I said, well, the stripes on my sleeves, he has to respect too. So don't hand me this crap that I overruled him when I don't have to listen to him. So you take that crap someplace else. And Foster turned red as hell because he knew he had no grounds to stand on. So when they found out him and I didn't get along, my commanding officer found out about it too. So we had another fella, Sergeant Summers in France. So what he, Captain Hook done is take Sergeant Summers and Sergeant Foster's and switch their place. They took Sergeant Foster, sent him to France, and brought Sergeant Summers that I was used to working with back there. Then everything runs smooth. But the only time I had racism really, and not too much in Philadelphia when I before I went to service, but when I was in the service, and I went up to Geneva, New York, where our base was, when I first went to basic training. And from basic training, I went down to San Marcos, Texas. And that's when I really found out what racism was. Because after getting off the military and the aircraft, and all, I walked into this here cafeteria. And I walked in through the front door, and one of the matron d's walks up and says, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes, I want to get a sandwich or something." "Oh, here, I'll have to show you where you have to go get it." And I said, "What do you mean, show me?" He says, "Oh, well, here, I'll show you where." So he took me to the back of the kitchen, and where they didn't want whites or didn't want you sitting in with them. And also, that was my first taste of real racism was. And I said to myself, "You got to watch yourself, because you can get either trouble or you going to kill somebody." So I just went on and got the cheese sandwich and waited till my bus came along where I could move. And one other time, when after my came home on leave from Tennessee, after we finished school and I went to Tennessee, I was back at the base, and when I was back there at the base, and no, I went Mount. I'm sorry, Tennessee. We ran around with the white boys and all like that, and we went out to a movie. One time we went to a drive-in, so I was sitting in the back of the seat. Was nothing said, but one time we went back, and I was sitting in the front seat, and they said, "No, you can't do that." So we went and drove around and brought me back in the back seat. So again, so we went in, and then while we were out eating one time, before we were getting ready to ship overseas in Tennessee, and I had to have, we took our shoes to have repaired before going overseas, and I had heels put on my shoes, and I was sitting there with the other guys and all together, and they paid like $2-3 for putting heels on. And when I went up to pay mine, and he says, "That's $5. And I looked at him and I said, "$5 is, you pay charge him $2 a piece?" And he went, "Oh," I said, "Okay, fine. Thank you." And I gave him $5. I said, "Thanks for renting me the seat." And I went out the door.
What advice do you have for dealing with racism?
Be proud of it. And you learn to be proud. Just keep your head up and don't take a lot of crap, because they can't prove it. And they're no better than you are, and a lot of times not as good as you are. So I ain't downing anybody, but when they get to think they're so much, tell them bye, keep going your way, because you're not going to stand in my way. That's the other thing about it. So don't let it get you down. You're going to have some down spots, and only then they try to get to you. But as they say in the beautiful way, you kiss my, you know what, and keep moving. That's all. But don't let it stand in your way. Keep doing what you need to do. The education is going to make it. And once you get that down and continue to get down, they can't stop you. They found that out a long time ago.